I've got a very special guest on the phone with me. His name is Robert Morgan, Pastor Robert Morgan. He is the teaching pastor of the Donaldson Fellowship in Nashville. He's the author of 7,000 books. No, I'm just kidding, but he's written a whole bunch of books. I think he's up to like 40-something now. And his newest book is one that we're going to talk about today, and it's a 100 Bible verses that made America. And Robert is, we've been friends for some time now, and we're both fellow caregivers. And Robert has logged in many years in this journey. And I'll let him tell you what's happened in the last year. But I wanted to have him on and talk about this book, talk about his journey, talk about his message. I am always so impressed with caregivers that are producing and doing things and encouraging others in the midst of their journey. And Robert's one of those kind of guys, and he's done that for me. So Robert, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Peter. It's always good to hear your encouraging voice.
Well, tell me about this last year.
Well, Katrina and I were married in the American Bicentennial year, 1976. About 10 or 12 years later, she was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. During that time, we'd had three daughters who are now grown. And so for the last 30 years or so, we have just lived with multiple sclerosis. She has been a pastor's wife. She never lost her smile. The last year became very difficult because not only with the progression of MS, but with infections and some of the other side effects and debilitating ancillary problems that come along with it. And so when she went downhill quickly in October, I took her to the emergency room. They told me that they didn't think that she would survive. We were all standing there waiting for her to breathe her next breath and praying for her. In fact, I said to the doctor at Vanderbilt Emergency Room here in Nashville, I said, would you mind if we prayed? We were going to anyway, but I wanted to be ethical and polite. And I said, would you mind if we prayed? And he said, would you mind if I led you? And this doctor prayed the most wonderful prayer for us. And before very much time had elapsed, Katrina opened her eyes and looked at me and smiled, and God gave us another month together. She was able to come home. We had so much joy with our girls during that month, and then she passed away quietly on November 11 at 11:11 a.m. But we did the best that we could throughout the years, battling the frustrations that come with multiple sclerosis. We both would tell you that, you know, we weren't perfect with it. There were times when the frustrations got to us, but we never looked into the future and asked, where is this disease going? We just took things one day at a time. And on the day or two before she passed away, and I was lifting her into bed, and she was sort of confused and more or less out of it, but she suddenly started quoting that great hymn by Charles Wesley, "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues." She quoted the verse that says, "My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to tell to all the world abroad the honors of thy name." And she quoted that twice. And she just loved the Lord and had a smile on her face until the very end. And I have been trying to figure out what grief really feels like. It's such a mixture of emotions. But it may be because there was so much anticipatory grief involved in her extended illness, but I haven't felt overwhelming sadness as much as I just feel thankfulness. I put her picture, every wall or table in our house right now has a picture of her. You would think that it's a shrine, but those pictures aren't making me sad. They're making me feel grateful, just grateful. So, you know, she made it to heaven before I did, Peter, but we're all of us who have come through the blood of Christ are on that same journey. And well, I'm grateful she made it safely home.
I love that we are too, and I love that hymn, and I love that that was her, the last hymn that she left this world with. That is the last line of that hymn is one that means a lot to Gracie and me, and Gracie sings it with such passion. And leap ye lame for joy.
Oh yes,
and, well, and being Gracie, that she has two
Gracie
prosthetic
would.
Legs, that means a lot to her when she says, "And leap ye lame for joy." And I thought, you know, that is a very meaningful thing for her to leave this world with that in mind and in her heart. And we rejoice that she is free from all of this stuff with MS. We grieve with you and your family, and we celebrate her life with you today. And I know that as a caregiver through all these journeys, you stayed on message for also for the calling you have on your life as a writer, as a pastor. And I mean, your books have touched so many people. Your books about history now, the history of our hymns, and now you've delved into this thing with the history of our country, and you were doing this as your wife was passing away, and yet you were able to do this. And this is one of the things I really encourage my fellow caregivers to do, is to don't stop being who you are in the midst of this. You may have to limit it, you may have to be creative, but this is who God made you to be while you caregive. You don't have to put your entire life on hold. You can write, and you have. Tell us about this book that you've written and why it was important for you to delve into this.
Well, one of the joys of writing is that it was one thing that Katrina could help me with. Right up until near the end, the last few months she had trouble with it, but I would write a chapter or an article or something, print it off, and she would read it and look for errors. And it gave her she'd sit in her wheelchair, and she couldn't mark too well, but she could make a big circle around, you know, a mistake with a pen that she found. And this was the last book that she helped me with. It was in production when she passed away. But this is a book, Peter, about American history and the role of the Bible in it. It is a series of 100 stories. Each story is 3 pages long. It's very something that caregivers and their care receivers could read to one another, and it's like a book of daily devotions. Every story has a Bible verse, and then there is the story of how that Bible verse impacted some significant moment in American history. And, you know, the secularists right now, I can tell you this, you know it, are trying to push everything that is biblical or Christian, everything about our Judeo-Christian heritage, out of our textbooks, out of our schools, and out of our media in every way. And I just want to push it right back in there, because trying to take the Bible out of American history and the significance of the impact of the Bible out of the lives of those who have founded and guided this nation is an impossible task. There is not an eraser big enough to erase the influence of the Bible in American history. And so this is just a very readable set of stories giving specific occasions when that happened.
Well, tell me, what are some things that you learned as you dug into this that surprised you?
I learned that America is much more infiltrated with Scripture than we realized. For example, at the Battle of Lexington and Concord, when the British came towards those towns, it was a pastor named Jonas Clark who rang the church bell, gathered his members and villagers that he had been preaching liberty to every Sunday from his pulpit, and they were standing there in the churchyard when the British emerged, and the first shots of the American Revolution, we call it the shot fired around the world, was fired at a pastor and at his congregation. I learned that Andrew Jackson, who was a wild, scandalous sort of fellow and hard to manage and had a real temper and got into duels and you know, sent the Cherokees to Oklahoma and did things that were both good and bad, but we look at him and think what a character he was. But after he retired, when he was an old and tired man, to his home in the Hermitage, he attended a revival meeting and gave his life to Jesus Christ and studied his Bible and gave the message to everyone who had come to see him, and he loved the hymn, How Firm a Foundation, and he sang it on his deathbed. And I learned that Ronald Reagan wrote a letter on White House stationery in his own unique scrawl to his father-in-law, beseeching him to receive Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and quoting to him John 3:16. It was as an evangelistic a letter as you'll ever see. So all the way through, from the pilgrims all the way up to the presidential prayer breakfast, the role of the Bible is so entrenched in American history, it is like the pedestal for the Statue of Liberty.
Well, and I want to mine that a little bit more, but one of the things I want to also interject here to the listeners is who you are as far as the church hymns, because you've written these tremendous books, Then Sings My Soul, a whole series of them, and you tell the story behind the hymns, and these things have sold, you know, millions of copies. I have, I think, two copies of each one. So these are things that I just cherish and love. And you probably know this story when you were thinking about the Revolutionary War, because Isaac Watts wrote so much of our early hymnal in this country that we used. Isaac Watts is also the one who wrote the Joy to the World, with the text with that, I believe. But his hymnal,
yes,
was used prolifically. And there was a pastor, another pastor in Rhode Island, named Campbell. I can't remember his first name, but he was. His wife was shot through the window of their home, and she was killed. His house was burned down, and he became a chaplain for the American troops in the Revolutionary War. And at one point, they ran out of packing paper, wadding paper for their muskets. That he ran into the church building and brought out a hymnal and held it up real loud. He's going to use the paper from the hymnal and says, "Give them Watts, boys." And he's going to use Watts's hymnal to help pack the muskets. And they were literally firing at the enemy with the hymns of the church. And I thought, surely you've heard that story before.
I have heard the story before.
Well, you're gracious to let me tell it.
Oh, no, I didn't include it in this book. You know, Peter, this book could have been 1,000 Bible verses that made America. I mean, the biggest challenge I had was what to leave out, because there are so many stories like that you can trace back to Scripture and back to the great hymns, and they have influenced American history. And I think each one of them gives us hope. You know, I have another book that caregivers have used very widely called The Red Sea Rules, and it too is written in little, short increments. But as caregivers, we don't always have time to sit down and read for half an hour. But when you have something brief that can give you encouragement for 100 days in a row and that you can share with others, then, you know, there's something about the power of those verses and the stories behind them that encourages us. And that's what I hope for this book that I really did write while caregiving. And my wife, we say that we were both caregivers one to the other, but this was our last project together, 100 Bible verses that made America.
Well, Pastor Robert Morgan, one of my absolute favorite people in the whole world, you, sir, have been an inspiration to me for many years. Our paths have intersected on a lot of different levels. I'm so grateful that you called into the show today and took the time. I'm going to put this out on the podcast, this interview with him, and I want you to be able to download it, share it with people you know, get this book. He is a wonderful writer. You're going to love it. It's available wherever books are sold. And please take advantage of this 100 Bible verses that made America. Pastor, thank you very much for the time today, okay?
You're welcome, Peter. God bless you.
All right, you too. This is Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. 877-655-6755.
Have you ever struggled to trust God when lousy things happen to you? I'm Gracie Rosenberger, and in 1983, I experienced a horrific car accident leading to 80 surgeries and both legs amputated. I questioned why God allowed something so brutal to happen to me. But over time, my questions changed, and I discovered courage to trust God. That understanding, along with an appreciation for quality prosthetic limbs, led me to establish Standing with Hope. For more than a dozen years, we've been working with the government of Ghana and West Africa, equipping and training local workers to build and maintain quality prosthetic limbs for their own people. On a regular basis, we purchase and ship equipment and supplies, and with the help of inmates in a Tennessee prison, we also recycle parts from donated limbs. All of this is to point others to Christ, the source of my hope and strength. please visit standingwithhope.com to learn more and participate in lifting others up. That's standingwithhope.com. I'm Gracie, and I am Standing with Hope.
He will be strong to deliver me safe, and the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord.
Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the nation's number one show for you as a family caregiver. We are so glad that you are with us. 877-655-6755. That is Gracie and Russ Taff singing off of her new record, Resilient. And congrats, by the way, to Russ Taff. He was at Carnegie Hall, I think, last night. And that's quite a you know how to get to Carnegie Hall, John?
practice.
Okay. I mean, John, honestly, I had to do it. If you want to get a copy of that record, this is the last month we're doing this, and then we're going to do something a little different with it, but this is the last month for any amount that you want to give to Standing with Hope, which is the presenting sponsor of this show. And you've heard Gracie's story. You've heard her share her vision for this. Many years ago when she gave up her legs, she envisioned a way of reaching her fellow amputees with a powerful way of lifting them up, literally, and pointing them to Christ. And we do that. We've been doing that for 15 years in the West African country of Ghana. And we ship prosthetic supplies over there, along with used prosthetic supplies, recycled prosthetic parts of things like the pylons, the feet, the knees, and the screws and the adapters and connectors and sleeves and all those kinds of things that can be recycled. And they go to a prison in Tennessee run by CoreCivic. CoreCivic has many faith-based programs. And one of them is our program where inmates volunteer to disassemble limbs for us. It's kind of cool, you know, and it's...
think about what you just said, okay?
It's very cool.
it's
very cool.
The amount of, like, things that had to come together for this to be pulled off is rather unexpected, so...
Well, and I will tell you that at the front desk there at this prison... They're used to getting, you'll often see stacks of legs that have come in. It's a little bit weird. But they're kind of used to it by now. Arms too. And we just had one, I think, that was from a World War II veteran or something. It was very old leg, the old style of leg. And the manager there at CoreCivic wrote me and he said, I don't know how to describe this. And I said, that's okay. I do. And I said, just tell me, was it above knee or below knee? I'll go from there.
Right.
But those old legs, and you know, and there are still parts on there that we may be able to use. Let us make the determination. Don't throw it away. We'll take it. And if we can't use it,
I'm
going to
turn it into a lamp. You know, I mean,
we've actually had people do that, and we were actually contacted by American Horror Story. I don't know if I ever told you that.
No, you never told me that.
It's that really weird show, American Horror Story. And they contacted us and wanted to talk about getting some of our prosthetic legs to use in an episode. And I said, no, we're using them for amputees over in West Africa. We're not going to give them to you.
Get them back. Maybe that'd be kind of neat.
I didn't have that confidence. And so I figured, you know, I'm not, you know, that's a little side note piece of trivia. I think I just surprised you with that, didn't I, John?
Yeah, so, you did. Absolutely.
But no, we go through, we disassemble them. The inmates there at this facility, they help us organize them, and then we ship them over. We got a shipment going this month, and then Gracie and I and the team, we're going to go over this summer, and we're going to do this and continue. And if you want to be a part of that, if you want to support that, there's several ways you can do. One of them is, you know what? Pray for us. It's an amazing work that we do. Gracie could be nursing her own wounds and retreating into, you know, isolation, but she's not. She's going out there and she's putting herself in a position to, I mean, it cost her something physically to do this, to get on a plane and go to Africa. And she does this with her broken body. And she works with these broken lives in a prison. And we take parts from other broken people and we go over there to Africa and we provide limbs to other broken people. It's an extraordinary work. And we do all this to point to the one who was broken for us. You know, how about being a part of that? And you can do it today. You can go out to standingwithhope.com and you can just whatever's on your heart to give, we'll send you a copy of Gracie's CD. It is a very good CD. She is a no kidding singer. and that voice of hers. I've listened to it for a lifetime. And I had to laugh, John, when he was talking about, Rob was talking about his wife, Katrina, was editing his stuff. Uh-huh. We've tried that in our house. It gets loud. Uh-huh. It gets real loud.
I've heard about
that voice of hers goes up several octaves. I mean, and she does it right with big circles. She write it comes back and it's all in the margin. I mean, it's mind numbing. And I'm like, you can't edit my stuff anymore. I'm not going to let this happen. This is killing us. But I had to laugh because obviously they worked out an agreement.
Right. Well, they had this. Yeah, that's a beautiful thing that you could find. It's rare.
Well, Rob is a very even keeled guy, and his wife Katrina, very even keeled lady. Even keeled. Those are not words that are normally associated in the same sentence with Gracie and me.
I was gonna say these are not adjectives that I would pick out of the hat. I would pick out very positive adjectives.
We have our positive traits.
Yeah.
Even keeled is not
among them.
But she has helped me with that over the years and still does sometimes, and I go in there with great trepidation and I just hand it to her and I have to just walk away.
Because you know that some of the stuff she says is right. So
yes, there is, but and she tells you, "I told you this is really good." I said, "Yes, but look at us. We're in the ICU following this event. We don't need to go to this level." So,
poke a little fun. I don't mean to poke fun.
Yes, you do. Hush, you do poke. But this is entertaining to you, and so. But we are highly creative people, and that's what we do. But if you want to be a part of that,
it's a delight to see the result. It really is.
Gracie just texted. She's following along with me. She said, "Careful," in all caps. So, if you want to be a part of this, we would welcome that. You can do whatever you want to do towards the show, towards the prosthetic limb outreach. You can pray, share it with friends, tell somebody you know about this recycling program. It is an extraordinary thing that is going on. Be a part of it today. StandingWithHope.com. Hey, listen, we're out of time. The podcast is free. It's out there. It's all out on our website. Just go take a look. Don't try to do this alone. Friends don't let friends caregive alone. Okay? This is why we do the show. You're why we do the show. Okay? Healthy caregivers make better caregivers. Our goal is every show that we leave you better than we found you. Did we do that today? Let us know about it. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. This is Peter Rosenberger. We'll see you next week.